Good morning, Pirate Cat Radio fans. You're listening to KPVO 89.3 Pescadero, and this is the 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. morning intern news double hour. Woo! Woo! We're coming to you live at 21st in Florida, where at 7 o'clock our cafe will be open, which features lush and indulgent beverages such as our world famous or nationally recognized bacon maple latte. And I'm Crystal Clear, your host, and also I'm here with, who are you?
Chris, the intern.
Chris, the intern. So it's Chris and Crystal's intern show. And let's get directly into it. So, shall we?
We're going to have some news for sure.
We're definitely going to do some news. Well, this is an all news 2 hours. So, but first, let's get some weather going. So, today will be mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight is clear, lows in the 50s to lower 60s, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Saturday is going to be sunny, highs in the 70s, lows to lower 80s. Ooh, doesn't that sound exciting? And Saturday night is clear, lows in the mid 50s to lower 60s. So that sounds like if you like tonight, you're going to love tomorrow. And Sunday is going to be sunny, highs in the 70s to mid 80s, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. It'll be coming and northwest in the afternoon. Sunday night is going to be mostly clear in the mid to upper 50s. So what that means to you is it's going to be another beautiful weekend in California. So, and let's move right along onto the traffic. So there has been a traffic collision eastbound at North Flynn Road in Dublin. And there's also been a traffic collision with property damage on Geo Greenville Road in Dublin, and that's eastbound I-580. So you want to watch out for those. Some more traffic collisions westbound. Let's see here. SR4 to northbound. South Ridge Road. We're working on that. It's a work in progress, understanding and deciphering the complexities of traffic. I did not attend traffic school, Chris.
Yeah, is it's very hard. There's a lot of abbreviations on that page, which there, you know, our listeners don't know.
Yeah, it's true. You know,
it looks more like the coordinates for like Shackleton's early exploration of Antarctica or something.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was thinking. Is that I did not go to Shackleton's School of Traffic. And I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. I truly, truly, truly do. However, even though we are coming to you out of Pescadero, worldwide, hopefully you will forgive us, our wonderful podcast. Yeah,
we should actually give traffic updates around the world, don't you think? Maybe like we could be like, what's going on in Tokyo today?
Hey, congested? Tokyo. you want to get there early for your early morning shove. Yeah, the early morning shovers broke her wrist this morning. We just have something new that popped up. So a disabled vehicle northbound on I-280 on John Daly Boulevard. So that's right here in San Francisco in Castro Valley. Eastbound I-580 at 150th Avenue. There's been a traffic collision and another traffic collision. Ambulance is responding. Is at Binghamton Road in Solano. So if you're, let's see here, SR113 at Binghamton Road, Solano. So if that applies to you, look out. All right, let's hop into what in the world is going on.
News, news, news.
All right. What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what. San Jose is considering to join other Californian cities in boycotting Arizona over the state's tough new law targeting illegal immigration. So what exactly, how do you boycott a city?
I think what they're doing is, which I totally support, by the way, I think Arizona should just be shadowed out of the map. But I think what they do is they don't allow any of the government officials or any of like the people in the Parks Department or anybody who is in some sort of state or city position. So if there's like a conference for city park workers and it's in Phoenix, I think like the city won't allow anybody to go to it. If the city has a contract with a company that's in Arizona, basically they don't want to reestablish those contracts.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They basically, if it has anything to do with Arizona, which I'm not sure if you heard this story, but Clear Channel has a headquarters office in Arizona.
Oh.
And there are some people in California who feel that we should boycott Clear Channel and the radio stations that Clear Channel has, which is very many.
And I am already sort of in the process of doing that on my own.
Yeah, that was like a choice I made 5 years ago.
Which hopefully our Pirate Cat radio listeners are already in the process of doing that. If you're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, why don't you just make it official and boycott Clear Channel? Yeah? Yeah. So let's finish this story out. So the proposal is due to be debated during a city council session this week. Backers on the council insist that it's important to send a message that the city doesn't condone the pending Arizona law that requires police enforcing other laws to question people about their immigration status if there is reason to suspect they are in the county, the country illegally. Los Angeles, Oakland, and San Francisco and other cities have passed boycotts, as has Los Angeles County. So, if you were thinking about boycotting, you'll be in some good company. Ongoing jobless claims plummet to 17th month low. So even though it sounds terrible, I think that's actually a good sign. Is that not correct? Yeah, this is out of CNN.
Yeah.
So the number of people filing for ongoing unemployment insurance plummeted by 255,000 to the lowest level since December 2008, according to government figures released Thursday. Let's see here. Labor Department report says 482,000 people filed continuing claims in this week ending May 29th, the latest week available. That's down more than a quarter million from the previous week. So things are sort of improving, yeah?
Yeah, definitely are, yeah. For sure. That's good to hear.
Yes. Keep that job hunting going. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's hard out there. I've been myself dealing with looking for a job since I moved here 8 months ago.
Oh, goodness.
And I've probably put in, I would say, at least 50 resumes for 50 different jobs, and only one job did I ever hear back from in the last 8 months.
Wow.
That they even got my resume. It wasn't an interview. Only one employer even notified me to say, hey, we got your resume. Otherwise, it's basically just nothing. You hear nothing back at all. They must just be overwhelmed with applications.
Yeah. Well. Woo-hoo.
And I'm in web and tech, so that's really actually considered to be still a very one of the industries that's still improving right now.
Constantly hiring.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, I'm in a field where there are no jobs. It's just there's so many people applying for the same job.
You might want to get a handle on that cover letter and actually send it in physically. And you might want to send it with perfume and perhaps, you know, various colored papers. And you
like
know,
a case of 25-year-old Scotch whiskey with it.
Yeah. Like, good morning, friends, you know, stalk them at their homes. I'll like, hi, I'm your new employee. Yes, yes, please, please. Yeah. So continuing claims reflect people who file each week after their initial claim until the end of their standard benefits, which usually lasts 26 weeks. The figure does not include those who have moved to state or federal extensions, nor people who have exhausted their benefits. So that's kind of like I think that's those little loopholes at the end probably are changing the figures, I would assume, you know, because eventually, you know, I guess you probably would want to file on federal if you're not getting, you know, state, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get crafty with your resources, your paperwork. You've got plenty of downtime, so you fill out lots of extra paperwork. All right. And so, former cop union boss, I had a spy inside San Jose police auditor's office. This is out of the Mercury News. In a breach that may have compromised investigations of alleged police misconduct, an employee of San Jose's independent police auditor repeatedly leaked confidential information over several years to the San Jose Police Officers Union, the union's former president told the Mercury News. Police Sergeant Bobby Lopez said that the person whom he would not identify gave him inside information about complaints against police offerings made to the IPA. At one point, he said he was tipped to an upcoming Mercury News story about the violent arrest of a San Jose State student. And vital signs of the jobless claims dip and trade deficit widens. So I think this is kind of like a similar story. So why don't we just move on to something that isn't quite so similar? Whitman easily defeats Poisoner from the SF gate. Meg Whitman, who spent a record-smashing $71 million of her own money to sell herself as a political outsider from the corporate world. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm a political outsider, so I'm going to spend $71 million of my own money to prove that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice. That's excellent. So, to prove that she's an outsider from the corporate world who could turn California around, decisively defeated Steve Poisoner on Tuesday to become the first woman in state history to win the Republican gubernational nominee. This gal is on a mission. I'm all in, the billionaire former eBay CEO declared at her lavish victory party at the Universal City Hilton in Los Angeles, where 500 supporters ate and drank amid signs declaring fiscal responsibility is on the way. Wow, if that is not just a rich and all-telling story, right?
So at yeah.
So at the lavish victory party, fiscal responsibility is on its way. How does that make you feel, Chris?
I kind of think it's all bull. I'm to the point now where I hate to say it, but I don't believe anything any politician says, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or otherwise.
Are you saying that a billionaire who spends $71 million on a campaign around the idea of fiscal responsibility is being perhaps hypocritical? Is that what you're insinuating?
So? Yeah, I think so.
That's an interesting thought.
Well, I wish I had, like, I mean, right now it's like, I wish I had $71 million to just blow on something that may or may not work out. So that tells you how much money there is, because, you know, it's like one of those deals where you go to the liquor store on a Friday or you go to the grocery store on a Friday and you're like, well, I'm going to buy hot dogs for the family again, you know, and instead you go and you buy everybody their own nice little bacon wrap filet mignon. You know, it's a good, nice gesture. It's going to be a fantastic dinner, but at the same time, it's dinner and it's food and that's what it's going to go to. And she basically won, so... You know, I think she did rather well
Kudos
in the election.
To the lady.
But at the same time, that's a hell of a lot of money to blow on something that may or may not work out. You know, that's kind of what my point was, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that inherently the issue is that, okay, so, you know, but to me, so if you're a billionaire and you're a CEO and you say, hey, I'm going to run this state right and I'm going to do it regarding fiscal responsibility, then perhaps doing it by spending $71 million is not the way you want to do it.
And yeah, but it's almost like that if she's going to play the game, she's got to play by the rules.
Exactly. In order to say, hey, I understand fiscal responsibility, that's why I'm a billionaire. And so I'm going to do this like the cheap and dirty way, you know, by
she was on eBay, right? She's the one who is the CEO of eBay.
She is the ex-CEO of eBay. And you know what? Honestly, I have absolutely no idea what she stands for other than she's the ex-CEO of eBay and she's a billionaire.
Well, I heard a little thing about her being in charge of the adult section of eBay, which I never even knew eBay had an adult section.
I did not know that either.
But supposedly
hear a million clicks. Searching that out right now.
So I guess you could buy like adult materials on eBay, but there's like some sort of special area of the website for that, which I never even knew that.
I guess that's probably where all the real bucks come from.
Yeah, eBay is one of those sites, you know, they got in on the whole thing. I think it was supposed to start with trading like Beanie Babies or something like that, and it grew into what it is today. But the one thing that you hear about eBay is that one of the complaints is, I mean, I give her credit for her position and I guess being in charge of it, but eBay is one of those companies that was pretty much developed by the users. The end users made eBay what it is by creating accounts and for some reason given eBay in some cases percentages and fees for selling their items. So basically they created the software and sat in an office while, you know, a million end users created what it is.
I believe that eBay was sort of the bridge for the web 2.0 experience where you have like social media and social networking and all those kinds of things where it's, you know, it's driven by the people for the people. So, I mean, you know, whether or not that lends its credibility. But my big issue is that I have no idea what this woman stands for. And, you know, the story around her is always that she has tons of money. And even dare I go back in time to say that, like, you know, Ross Perot, you know how he... Do you remember Ross Perot?
Oh, yeah, I remember Ross Perot. He ran on a couple different presidential elections.
Yeah, you know, and...
He was the businessman who was going to bring business sense to the White House, I guess, was his main idea.
Yeah, same basic concept, which is, you know, I'm a businessman, not a politician, and that's what this country or this state needs is, you know, a level-headed business mind rather than rather than some politically savvy person or an actor with absolutely no qualifications whatsoever, which is what we got for the last 8 years.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's here today.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about the election and he does not think it's fair. Meg Whitman, CEO. Stupid.
Wow. I did not know that was coming at me, at you, Pirate Cat Radio listeners. We
it's
have
ridiculousness.
Arnold Schwarzenegger here in Pirate Cat Radio, or in Effigy, as at least. We had someone come in and join us.
We do. We have a new intern.
Yes, a new intern.
We got your mic up now, too.
Hi, my name is Vic.
Vic?
Yes.
Hey, Vic, how's it going? I'm Chris.
Good morning, Vic.
Hi, Lauren.
This is Crystal. This is the morning show. We kind of been running with the morning news now the last couple of Fridays here.
Yes, this is Crystal, Chris and Crystal's victory news.
Hi, Crystal and Chris.
Good morning,
Vic. How you doing at this early hour today?
It's good to wake up early. It's good.
Nice, nice. I'm actually a morning person as well. I don't mind as much getting up early.
Yeah, I mind. But thankfully, once I actually, you know, I'm an Aries. And so once I actually I get there, I'm like, okay, all right, we're here. Let's do this, you know. But there are a couple yawns.
You got to knock the rust off in the morning before you can get the gears going.
Yeah, I would like to say that I can run heavy equipment such as a coffee machine at 5:45 in the morning, but I kind of fear for the safety of myself and others. So I'm coffee free, people. That's right, we're doing this unleaded style.
But at 7 o'clock. The cafe will be raging and there will be much coffee flowing like the Mississippi River into the oily Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, indeed. And it will smell like bacon and maple syrup. And it will be delicious. So come on down to 21st and Florida. If you are anywhere near the Mission, we make some marvelous lattes. I'll tell you what. And
we have World Cup soccer action today as well.
Oh, did someone say World Cup?
That's right. We're going to broadcast some of the World Cup games here at Pirate Cat Radio for the people in the neighborhood.
Well, that sounds extraordinarily exciting. So, let's see here.
I have a couple news stories set up.
Yeah,
so
could you get us into some couple news stories? And then we're going to hear. That's right. We're going to hear. That's right. We're going to hear a PSA. So stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get fierce.
Well, my first story here is just a little short blurb that I found this morning on the internet, which I really kind of think that we need to inform everyone about. Because I don't know if everybody knows or not that tomorrow is World Naked Bike Ride Day.
World Naked Bike Ride Day?
Yes, yes, again. Tomorrow is World Naked Bike Ride Day.
Oh, a queen comes into my head immediately. Bicycle, bicycle.
I think I might have to just go for a bike ride to see what's going on around town, but I've never experienced a naked bike ride, but it seems like it would really kind of not be comfortable.
Yes. But, well, you know, for men more specifically, although, you know, I mean, you know, it's, there's not really that much padding for you guys.
Yeah. It just seems like things would be loose and fancy free. I don't know, you know, like, you know, like how people got to like tie their ankle with so their leg pant doesn't get caught in the chain, you know. I'm just worried, I guess. Not that, you know, I need to worry about anything getting caught in the chain. You know, I'm no John Holmes or anything, but
or like five John Holmes put together.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd actually like 3 feet or something like that. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that that's just I've actually seen naked bike riding because I've been to Burning Man numerous times.
Nice.
And everyone always seems to be super happy about it. I think it's the liberating sense, like the wind in your hair, as it were.
Yeah, you know? I could see where it'd be fun because, man, it would be abnormal because it's not something that I've ever done, but maybe I should give it a try and see what it's like, but not just think it's going to be painful in some sort of way. It might be painful for everybody who's viewing it. But
you know, I just personally recommend that you might want to actually print out that news article and maybe laminate it to a little like thing and wear that around
so people know.
Yes, yeah, so that you, excuse me, I'm just enacting the principles of the National Naked Bike Ride, International Naked
Bike. It's like you need proof of it, you know. Yes. Like, look, I, you can't just like get caught naked on your bike and say I saw it on the internet. Like, that's what everybody's saying.
Although maybe in San Francisco you could get away with that.
I don't think they would even say anything. They would let you cruise by.
I saw it on the internet, and you can Google it. If you go home right now and Google it, you'll find it. But I gotta go. I got places to go, people to see. I'm just sorry that I don't have Queen right now for you to go with the bicycle thing. But maybe at some point today we might be able
to. I might have it in my iPod.
Oh, well. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. There might be a little spontaneous, like, Queen blip.
I do have a story. We were just talking earlier about the election results that took from the election that took place this week, and I actually found some things. I got a really good story about Proposition 16.
Oh, yes, please. So, do tell.
If you'd like, I could.
Are we forever indebted to PG&E or no?
No, we are not.
Woo, 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 woo. Can I get a disco?
Disco.
All right, Vic. This is your big moment. Where's my disco?
Oh, it's right here.
That disco.
That was the worst disco I've ever heard in my entire life, Vic. If you're a morning person, give me some morning disco.
You can ring my bell.
Nice. I am truly blown away. That was the best morning disco I think I've ever heard. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, anyone, anyone? Did you hear some amazing disco? I think you did. I think you did. All right, so let's find out more.
All right. We're going to go on to some news here from sfgate.com. PG&E measure requiring public power votes loses.
Woo!
That's a weird headline there.
I think that's equally as poorly worded as like all of the various ad campaigns confusing the living daylights out of everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I had so many friends on Facebook that were like, yes, on 16, because it, you know, and I'm like, you do realize, or it was, what is it?
No, the whole entire bill was run by the company that wanted to get a monopoly on everything.
Yeah, I know. It took me a moment to try and figure it out, but
what was really funny on those is every single one of those ads, which, God, I couldn't even tell you how many you would see in a day, you know? I mean, just, they're everywhere.
Were they on TV?
They were all over TV. They were on the radio. There's, like, posters. And every single one of them at the bottom in, like, the smallest print that you could, like, nobody could read, you know? Not even somebody with, like, supervision, like Superman, you know?
Whatnot.
PG&E sponsored, you know, this whole bill is the whole entire ad campaign and the whole proposition was sponsored by the very company that was going to profit from it.
Yeah.
And like, it's awesome that the voters here in California basically said, no, we're not going to allow this to happen.
We laid the smack down, people. We're still in sort of in charge in the.
I think this story will cover a little bit of what went down and a little bit of the result on it. So,
oh, good. Yeah. Talk to us.
A ballot initiative that would have limited the ability of local governments to enter the electricity business was narrowly defeated in a loss for the measure's main backer, Pacific Gas and Electric Company. The utility company, California's largest, sank more than $46 million into its campaign. $46 million.
I guess it's not as big as
$46 million.
I know, right? Yeah, apparently you got to sink $71 million to get some results.
So that, yeah, exactly. The funny part about it is any business, you know, that runs out there, you think about how am I going to prosper? How am I going to move forward? How am I going to better my company and better our bottom line, which is our profits?
Could they spend $46 million on like maybe solar, you know?
So $46 million. That's the investment that they made. Do you know what the numbers must have been for their their final payoff to invest $46 million.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, right? They had their accountants sit up there at the offices of Pacific Gas and Electric down on Market Street, and they ran those numbers, and they think it's viable to invest $46 million in an ad campaign. So let's think about percentages. How much money were they going to make if this passed, if they invested $46 million?
Yeah,
we're talking maybe billions of dollars they were going to make, and the voters stopped it.
Woohoo! Yay, voters! Pat yourself on the back.
So that was $46 million into its campaign for Proposition 16, which would have forced cities and counties to win the approval of two-thirds of their voters before spending public money to start or join a public power agency.
Wow. That really is, that is actually some really upbeat news. What about Proposition 15, which was like the Fair Elections Act?
Let's see here. Proposition...
That didn't get as much attention, but
open
actually
open primary
was.
Elections approved, Proposition 14.
15.
Oh, it says on the news here. Is there a Proposition 15?
Yeah.
Because it says that the voter... On the according to our news source, it says it's Proposition 14 for open primaries.
No. Open. Well, roll through it. There's 14 and.
See, I got 13, 14, 16, and 17. It doesn't say anything about a 15.
I thought there was a 15, which
I kind of
like
remember
the
there being
Elections
a 15.
Act.
Measure lets voters cast ballots for any candidate. That's this one.
That's 14, right?
That was 14.
Okay. Well, let's see here.
We had 13, which was tax hikes for quake-safe buildings blocked. 16 was PG&E, which we just were discussing. And 17 was the voters defeat car insurance measure, which was the controversial proposition that was heavily financed by Mercury Insurance Group. So another big corporation who spent a lot of money to advertise and campaign, basically propaganda, if we remember World War II at all.
Yeah, totally.
Propaganda that was created by a corporation to bilk you,
yeah,
the voter and the everyday average citizen.
Yep.
Out of more money for the insurance companies, which, as anybody's ever dealt with an insurance company, you drive down the street, you get into an accident, and even though you paid your insurance for the last 10 years, they're going to argue every second and argue every penny to make sure you do not get it.
Yeah. And, you know, it actually kind of reminds me of what's going on with BP and how they spent like $50 million to Google and all these other places so that they're buying out the search results for oil spills and so on and so forth. And they still are, you know, nickel and diming.
It's horrible. I just found an article that I was going to read here in a minute from the BBC News, which I'm not sure if you remember, but we read one last week. And according to the BBC, it's not really that big of an oil spill. And now on the BBC, they're basically, this article goes on to talk about how UK, basically United Kingdom and United States relations won't be affected by this natural disaster.
Really?
And I'll tell you what, it's really funny to listen to the BBC, or not listen, but read the story on the BBC, because they have no idea how real Americans feel about this.
Yeah.
People here are very, 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 very tired, and we can bury the news and hide the news as much as we want, but all you need to do is go on to places like Facebook, YouTube, and other resources that people are putting up their own stories and their own postings. And we had a story, I think, maybe a week or two ago. It's something like 350,000 people a day are joining the banned BP group.
Yeah.
People
definitely.
Here aren't.
I have.
Maybe the White House doesn't care. You know, maybe politicians don't care.
You know what?
Maybe they want to keep their dealings. But as for the average American, I think we all care.
Absolutely. Well, I think that it really is a David and Goliath issue at this point, that, you know, if we don't take a stand to literally the most destructive, you know, attack, it's a complete, you know, I would say that it's a total absolute like international attack on our waters, you know,
it is
Florida shores. tar, like, you know, tar is washing up.
Forget about Louisiana. Forget about Mississippi. Forget about Florida. It's so bad down there right now that the people in the cities in Florida they don't want people to know, because their industries are all based on tourism.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to go down to Pensacola for a vacation and roll around in the oily beaches.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, there is a huge issue at hand here, and it's like, you know, I mean, I have 56 miles out, and that's a lot of terrain to cover.
And the numbers they drop too, like this article BBC drops, you know, like, I don't know if people pick up on this or if I just pick up on it because of being involved with radio and being involved with news, but like the statistics they drop, like as many as 40,000 barrels or 1.7 million gallons of oil a day.
Gallons.
So they give you the daily number because they don't want you to see that that's why the estimate is like it could be anything between 24 million gallons and 48 million gallons. What's going on?
Is there some music playing or cut to music?
We could, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Do some music.
Do you want to make sure?
Yeah. So, like I said, you're listening to KPTO 89.3 in Pescadero. And, of course, on the World Wide Web, this is Pirate Cat Radio. And we are here in the Mission at 21st and Florida. We have our cafe, which will be opening fairly shortly here. And we'll be covering the World Cup, which is pretty exciting. So if you are a huge fan of the World Cup, which apparently if you don't live in America, you are. You are a huge fan of the World Cup. And you plan on spending the next 3 weeks avoiding all forms of work, sleep, or any sort of basic human responsibilities. And you're going to be celebrating, screaming, yelling, shouting, drinking, and general dangerousness for the World Cup. Yes? Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
I can't wait. World Cup action is amazing. I do have a song set up for us, so we could move into that and maybe take a break and we could gather ourselves and maybe officially off the air introduce ourselves to the new intern here.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So are we putting that on?
Let me see here. I got some gorillas for us. Should be real simple. I think it's the submixer. There's two channels for the submixer.
Oh, okay.
And we'll bring that up.
All right. Are we ready to roll?
I think so.
Ready to roll. So this is
I can't hear anything. My headphones don't work, so I can't hear anything. Is there anything coming out of the...
Yeah. Well, I don't hear anything either. So, let's see here. We're experiencing a few little technical difficulties. We're trying to find some. I spit the wickedest lines from a time that's never existed. My futuristic linguistics turn fools into statistics. I'm a lyrical misfit with a sadistic characteristics. I perform murderous acts on my tracks with a single breath. And if a boy wants to test, then I'll be stamping upon his chest. I'm making a mess. Now the man can conceive the weed I'm consuming. And I transform from a cartoon soon and turn to a human. I spit words from my mouth and be turning you inside out. And I tie knots and intestines just like I'm a boy scout that's working them out. Now rearranging your whole skeletal structure. Gonna find some 9-inch nails to perform some acupuncture.
punch ya. When I punch ya, I rupture one of your rib cage in a rage. And I turn you into a cartoon tool, then erase the page. I take you back to the Stone Age with Barney and your Fred Flintstone. Get Dino to tag your machine nose and then force you to live home. I'ma take off like a jetpack, better get back, better step back. I'ma make the crowd react and nod their heads until their neck snaps. Like I'm flick wraps, but riding a skateboard and doing a tic-tac. And leave your head in a spin like stirring a turntable skip match. I'm a concrete lying big cat. This is real talk, now big chat. Did you get that? Cause I ain't no small timer, I rhyme on big tracks. Now feel the vibes I create, this heavyweight I'm about to detonate. And demonstrate how I generate lyrics that supernaturally levitate. To the top, my lyrics escalate, accelerate and leave you panicking. Take the ground from beneath your feet, leave you skywalking like Anakin. I'm sharper than the tips of Zulu spears and Olympic javelins. My style is totally fuck wild, I'm most definitely happening. To your brains I'll be tapping in, the computers I'll be hacking in. Cause me, I'll be out of this world like aliens or a time traveling. I'm dabbling in the fist of fury technique when I speak. Forget karate kid and these wooden blocks I chop through concrete.
Concrete, concrete, concrete. Well, 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 well.
So much havoc in Russell's head. My lyricism's just like an aneurysm inside his brain. He plays the beat in a trance and he's never feeling no pain. I could never be a racist because I possess so many faces. I'm one of those beat up bad with bags and a pair of braces. With lines longer than laces, I'm gracing you with my presence. The lyrics with flippings making you bubble like effervescence. I pulverize and bamboozle, shaking them skulls like a poodle. I smash the top of your head with a guitar that I borrowed from Noodle. I'm as animated as Japanese enemies causing calamity. Some serious savagery from my roar is rhymes of reality. At the speed of sound, I'm running around the clouds to try to defeat us. Without tenacity, it's an audacity that you ever thought you could beat us.
Beat us, beat us, beat us, beat us, beat us, beat us.
That was the Gorillaz, and what song was that?
That was a remix of Clint Eastwood, which is like a DJ touch up kind of remix.
Okay, and so let's get back.
I have a news story first from the BBC.
Okay, all right.
This one's from the BBC. Experts double estimate of BP oil spill size. As many as 40,000 barrels, 1.7 million gallons of oil a day may have been gushing out from a blown-out Gulf of Mexico well, doubling many estimates. The U.S. Geological Survey says that the flow rate could have been reached before a cap was put on the well on June 3rd. BP's chairman has been asked to meet Barack Obama next week amid assurances from the UK and the US that bilateral ties will not be affected by the crisis. UK PM David Cameron and President Obama will discuss the spill at the weekend. Oil has been leaking into the Gulf since the Deepwater Horizon rig exploded on April 20th and sank off the coast of the United States, killing 11 workers. BP said the device placed on the well collected 15,800 barrels of oil on Wednesday. slightly up on the 15,010 barrels collected in the previous 24-hour period. New estimates for the oil spill prior to June 3rd follow an assessment by a team of scientists put together by the U.S. government and coordinated by the U.S. Geological Survey. The lowest estimate that we're seeing that the scientists think is credible is probably about 20,000 barrels. And the highest that we're seeing is probably a little over 40,000, says Marcia McNutt, director of U.S. Geological Survey. The new estimates are staggering and only add to BP's woes, the BBC's Andy Gallacher in Florida says. The British oil giant had estimated that up to 19,000 barrels a day were leaking from the well before they managed to partially contain the spill. This is a nightmare that keeps getting worse every week, said Michael Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club, America's oldest environmental organization. We're finding out more and more information about the extent of the damage. Clearly, we can't trust BP's estimates of how much oil is coming out. Relations between BP and the White House are now more strained than ever, our correspondent reports. BP Chairman Carl Henrik Schwanberg has been invited, some would say summoned, to the White House next week. The meeting will be held amid concerns that BP may not have enough cash to pay for the cleanup operation and compensation for those infected. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has warned that Washington will not pay a dime for cleaning up and that BP will be held responsible for all damages. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, has accused BP of a lack of integrity over its approach to the spill. Ms. Pelosi is among a number of U.S. politicians who have suggested that BP should be forced to suspend dividend payments until it is clear the company has enough cash. That has raised concerns in the U.K., where BP dividends from a crucial part of the pension funds for millions of Britons. The sharp criticism from the U.S. has been described by some U.K. politicians as a growing anti-British rhetoric. British Prime Minister David Cameron said on Thursday his government was ready to help BP do all it can to deal with the situation and understood that the U.S. government's frustration. The most important thing is to try to mitigate the effects and get it to grip with the problem. It's something I will discuss with the American president when we talk next week, he said. On the markets, BP shares closed down 6% in London on Thursday, having earlier fallen as much as 12%. And I got some other news we can go on. This one is more local than that story, which is definitely local to us here as citizens of the United States of America. And to be honest with you, citizens of Mexico and citizens of Belize and citizens of Cuba and citizens of anybody in the Caribbean, because you're all about to be drenched in oil if it hasn't made it there yet. In local news, Brown, Whitman throw jabs in governor campaign. That's right. We're back to the recent election, and we're going to talk about Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman.
Democratic CEO billionaire.
Yeah. This Democratic gubernatorial candidate Jerry Brown on Thursday portrayed his party and its support of California's landmark law to curb greenhouse gases as the party of the future, jobs, and environmental stewardship, and charged that the GOP and its gubernatorial candidate Meg Whitman remain tied to drill baby drill without a viable plan for an economic stimulation. This is a team that stands for the future, for jobs and the working families in California, Brown said, speaking to an audience of about 150 workers and officials at Solaria, a Fremont solar panel manufacturer, after touring the plant with the statewide Democratic slate. The group included San Francisco mayor and lieutenant governor nominee Gavin Newsom, San Francisco district attorney and attorney general nominee Kamala Harris, Treasurer Bill Lockyer, and Secretary of State Deborah Bowen. The Democrats used the setting of a Fremont solar energy firm, as President Obama did last month, to stress the party's focus on jobs and the economy as the key issue of the 2010 election. Harris lauded Brown as someone who has had a longstanding commitment to innovation in alternative energy and jobs, saying he will make sure that the Texas oil companies cannot come in and buy California. Newsom said of the GOP ticket that almost every single one of them is against state climate law AB 32. The contrast could not be stronger. Brown, the state's attorney general and former two-term governor, called for reducing regulations and red tape to help businesses create jobs in the alternative energy business.
Reduction in red tape?
Yes, called for a reduction, called for reducing regulations and red tape.
Ah, okay. Sorry. Just clarifying that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Ahem. Clarifying the reduction in red tape.
AB 32 is a very important and very flexible framework for dealing with climate change and perhaps most importantly, creating the jobs of the future, said Brown. It's about investing in the new jobs and the new ideas because this is a campaign for the future. He reportedly tried to draw a contrast between him and Whitman, jabbing her on the environment, her campaign spending, and her lack of experience and knowledge of the workings of government. She doesn't have a plan, Brown said. She has a pamphlet, and it's mostly pictures. He told the crowd, who then applauded. He repeated his challenge to Whitman to hold a series of public discussions with him on state issues, saying, "What is she afraid of? Why won't she get on and have a face-to-face?" Whitman, at a rally Thursday of about 150 people at the Tech Museum of Innovation in San Jose, said she would not debate against Brown until October 11th at Dominican College in San Rafael. "I accept the debate invitation because I can't wait to talk specifics with Jerry Brown," Whitman said. Jerry Brown has not said one word specifically on what he wants to do. His website has nothing about policy or the way forward. Californians want to know, specifically, how are we going to turn this state around? After the rally, Whitman declined Brown's offer for 10 town hall debates, even as she touted her 48-page booklet as the gold standard and something I'm very proud of. "If he wants to do 10 debates, I suggest he gets 10 ideas about how to fix California out there, and then we'll have something to talk about," Whitman said. "I feel great about the plan we have put forward." As for Brown's dismissal of her policy plan as a picture book, Whitman told reporters, "Well, you know that's not true." She shrugged off comments by GOP U.S. Senate candidate Carly Fiorian before a television interview Wednesday when she described the hair of her opponent, Senator Barbara Boxer, as "so yesterday." After being in the race for 15 to 16 months, you can actually see how that happens, Whitman said. "Carly and I are good friends, and I look forward to running with her." And in other local news, we have...
I've got a story here.